Thank you, Dixie. Yeah, well done. All right, good morning again. I want to qualify a statement I made at the beginning of the service. I had said that if you talk to me during this next week and it appears as if nothing's going on upstairs, it actually might be true that there's really nothing going on upstairs. I have these blank box moments. So it's a lot happening. We want to finish up a sermon series this week on the Gospel according to Abraham. We want to look at three little snapshots of Abraham from the New Testament to kind of help us draw together why it is that it was so important for us to look at the story of Abraham. So for you this morning, on the sermon notes page, which is page 5, those will be the texts. So I'll just read those from page 5 as we go along in the sermon, as we kind of wrap and pull things together on the importance of the Abraham story for the Christian faith, because it actually is very much intertwined. The first snapshot comes from the book of Hebrews, which the writer writes, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise." The whole Abraham story begins with the truth of a promise, which I think is a great way to start a story, right? It's not random, it's not happenstance, it's not a confluence of factors. It's actually a word from God. A person going about their ordinary life is intruded by the divine. God has a way of pushing into our lives. He has a way of showing up when we least expect him, or, quite frankly, when he is uninvited. And this is what happens with Abraham, that he is the recipient of a promise of God. And the entire story that plays out in Genesis is simply, how does Abraham live his life in light of a promise that was given to him? We mentioned a few weeks ago when we talked about Abraham living his life in the midst of the mess, that it's a complicated picture. There are actually tremendous pieces of him putting trust and faith, doing the unthinkable of leaving family and friends behind, going where the Lord had called him to go, doing those things that the Lord had called him to do, and yet, when the promise was not being fulfilled in a way that he thought it might be, when he thought that the window in which that promise needed to be fulfilled was closing, he took other means to try to make it happen. And God had to come in again and again and say, "Abraham, let me remind you of what I promised." The New Testament, particularly in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that the promise piece is an absolutely huge and essential part of the gospel story. It actually is an unfolding from a promise. And the writer of Hebrews is very keen to make sure we understand Jesus being the one who is the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of the promise of God, that not merely was he going to bless people through the seed of Abraham, but he was actually, through the seed of Abraham, going to send the world a Savior, and a blessing will be obtained finally and once and for all through the death of the one who came through the blessing of Abraham. I wonder if you ever thought of your Christian walk as one in which if you are a believer in Christ, you are someone who has obtained a promise. That is to say, your faith is not simply by your own doing. Your faith is not simply your initiative in going and doing what God has asked you to do, but actually that who you are as a Christian is defined by the fact that you realize that a promise has been made to you, that a promise has been offered to you, that you are actually the receiver of something that was begun thousands of years ago. And I like that, because we live in a world of broken promises. Now, we know that exists in the realm of politics, but we also know that it exists in the terms of relationships as well. We also know, if we're honest, that we are those who have broken our own promises, that our word has not been fully trustworthy, that we have at times gone against our word in the midst of a difficult circumstances where we got weak in the knees when we knew we should have stood strong. We have a God, though, who is not slow to keep his promises. The psalmist says. And I'd like to disagree with him at times because he does seem to be slow, right? And yet, the psalmist knows that, particularly the ones written by David, that it does take time, but he's not slow in that his word is kept. When we're slow in keeping our promises, we're usually biding time, so we might not have to actually follow through with it. When the Lord makes a promise, he will fulfill it at the perfect time. There's no delay. It's actually unfolding according to a plan. And the importance of the Abraham story is this, that God has made a promise to his people that he fulfilled. And Abraham, says, waited patiently and obtained what was promised. We too, through Christ, receive even now the joy of that promise. And one day we will know that promise in full, when all will be said and done, and joy and peace will reign forevermore. We are people of the promise. The gospel has as its heart the word of God that comes to us first as a promise. But secondly, though, we've talked about this a lot, is faith. And you look at the epistles of Paul, this is the heart of what it means to be the recipient of the promise. In theological language, faith is the very thing that makes us justified before God. That is to say, forgiven and whole, declared to be righteous, though we are not. But God offering a verdict, saying that this person now, who was once a sinner and worthy of condemnation, has now been forgiven and set free, now a new creation in Jesus Christ. The reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, described justification as the very foundation upon which the church stands or falls. You try to make Christianity about something else, works righteousness, you try to make it about social conformity, you try to make it about anything other than, at the heart, a righting of a wrong, putting a human being in right standing before their maker, then we confuse what the gospel is. And this is what Paul writes in the letter to the Galatians. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, for much of the Old Testament, they could not get their hands around the fact that the Lord had intended to justify and to bring into the fold all nations. In Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. No, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. If you just went through that paragraph and you took a pen and circled the number of times faith appeared, it's just shocking. The importance of the Abraham story, and they're using language actually straight from Genesis 15, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That Abraham is not the example for the people of faith simply because of his good works. It's actually quite the opposite. He believed and trusted in God who had first given him the promise. And we are of Abraham if we share the faith. Faith is so tremendously important to what it means to understand the gospel. And history of the past 2,000 years has been littered with examples of those who have taken the gospel. This is the very people that Paul is writing against in the book of Galatians. They want to do the gospel as Jesus and all of the religious cultic laws. Paul is saying, huh? It's the blood of Christ alone. It's Jesus Christ alone dying on the cross for our sins. When we put our faith and our trust in him, we are of Abraham. And Abraham was used, as we're going to see shortly, as an example, actually, of more his righteousness than his faith. And Paul wants to say, no, the beautiful thing about the Abraham story is his faith. Not his righteousness, because his righteousness was that given to him by God. And friends, this is great news, because when we read the Abraham story, I've hopefully tried to paint a picture. We don't want to look at him as the paragon of perfection, because he's not. We don't want to look at him as simply someone to imitate in terms of what he did, though that is a good thing. We'll see that shortly. But more importantly, we see that in him, he is the one who believed, who hoped against hope that God's promise would come true, and it did. Romans chapter 4. And many of you, I know, and if you're like me, are hoping against hope as well, trying to believe that the promises of God are true for you. And the story of Abraham is one in which we are to understand that faith is the very thing that puts us right with God. Now, to be honest, we don't live in a world right now that thinks in terms of these categories, that they really want to be in a right standing with God. We live in a world, and actually there are very, very many variations of the Christian preaching this day, that it's just more about wanting God to kind of endorse or bless whatever it is that I want to do with my life. Or can't we just all get along? But the beautiful thing about what Paul writes in Galatians in terms of faith is that he was a man who was trying to do all the right things, and while he was doing all the right things, he was actually persecuting the church. He was there when one of the first preachers of the gospel, Stephen in the book of Acts, was killed, and the book says that after they had stoned Stephen, they took their cloaks and they laid it at the feet of Saul. He was a man who, by the time he wrote Galatians, was a broken man. He looked at his own life and he said, what was I? I thought I was righteous. I thought I was doing the right things for God, and yet I was the chief of sinners, he says. And yet God had the wherewithal to knock him off his horse as he was on his way for another killing. And he realized that all of what he's done is rubbish in comparison to the surpassing grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's very important to understand that the heart of the gospel is our desire to be in right standing with God. To not be those who are always looking at the rest of the world and saying, here's what's wrong with you, but knowing what's wrong with me. That I am a sinner in need of grace, and yet the beautiful thing is that it's by faith that that grace is received. And again, the beauty of the Abraham story is that he believed in the promise of God through faith. We're heading somewhere. There's a promise given by God that's to be received by faith. This is the importance of Abraham's story. Now we're the children of God, part of a family. In the Gospels, Abraham's name is mentioned 72 times in the New Testament. It's a lot. And when we get to the Gospels, he's all over the place. But he's being used by different groups against one another. This is an example, quickly, about a showdown between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders at the time. And so Jesus said to the Jews, this is in the Gospel of John, who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What a great, great verse. You know the truth will set you free. They answered him, "No, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." It just gets better. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament. "Know that if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And I know that you are offspring of Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And they answered him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." Really stark words from Jesus. In this sense, and he's coming up against those who are saying, you know what, we have never been enslaved to anything because we are part of the family, because Abraham is our father, simply through birth. It's just who we are. And Jesus turns it on his head and says, you know what, you can't just grab the name Abraham and say that defines you as a person who is in right standing with God. It says, "If you are truly my disciples, you will abide in my word." No, they're not interested in this. And time again, the name Abraham is brought up as an example to say, I'm right. Look at me. I follow Abraham. I am a child of Abraham. I'm doing what it is that I think that the Old Testament says. And Jesus is very clear throughout the Gospels. Abraham is not a name to hide behind. Abraham is actually the example of faith. And that those who follow Abraham will see in Jesus Christ the fulfillment of the promise first given to Abraham. That it's not who we are in name only, actually. It's in our life that unfolds by believing in a promise. And it's a great way to end this piece, because the beautiful thing about the Christian faith is that believers are those who have been given a promise by God that's to be received by faith, and in so doing, it brings them into a community, a body, an actual family, in which we remind one another of the promises of God, we encourage one another in the faith to follow him, and we know that we are held together by something that would never ordinarily bring us together. I mean, you're here with all your different backgrounds. You come from different states. You come from parents who have different kinds of jobs. You right now work in various places throughout the valley. You have different professions, you have different interests, and you all come here and you have one thing in common. What is that? You like Montanans. That's why you're here, right? No? You're here because one thing. God brought you here. And hopefully you trust that you are a recipient of a promise and you receive that by faith. But that promise and that faith leads to living our lives in the midst of the community, and we cannot hide behind the Christian name. That is to say, we can't be like those who say we have Abraham as our father. We can't say, you know, my dad was a Christian, my mom was a Christian, my great-grandpa was a Christian, therefore I'm a Christian. And no, you don't hide behind a name in this. If you can say with full integrity, I'm a Christian, it's this, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and died for you once and for all, that you, by faith, when believing in that, are now declared to be righteous in his stand, so that you no longer fear punishment for your sins, but you know that you are forgiven and free once and for all, and that you live every day of your life holding on with dear life to the promises that he made, not to the hopes you've had for yourself. And you trust and you believe that he is the one who will never leave you or forsake you, that he will never let you down, that all the things that you have done that would be worthy of him abandoning you, you know he has never given up on you, and he will continue to hold you dear until the end. That's not a name. That's a life. The importance of the Abraham story is this very thing, that you are recipients of a promise if you receive them by faith, and you are here as children of God, children that come, children literally of Abraham, who believe what Abraham believed, that with God all things are possible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of Abraham. Help us to have his faith, to trust and believe in the God whose promises never fall short. Strengthen our flagging faith. Lift us up in the disappointment of broken promises to the promises that you will hold dear. And help us to see the beauty of what it means to be the children of God, who do not hide behind a name, but who live their lives as those who have been set free by the Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Please stand.